Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I really was just trying to come to a deal with Buffalo. That was my choice where I wanted to be. It didn't really matter, I guess, what the numbers were. I just kind of needed something to get me to stay, and we reached that, and I'm happy to be here.
That is Jordan Phillips of the Buffalo Bills. Your headlines: UB picks up another win, school record wins 27 now, 27-3. They play Bowling Green in the regular season finale Friday at UB. They clinch the MAC title in the regular season. They clinch the top seed. Does a regular season title get a banner? I say yes. Yes.
I'm trying to remember if they have a banner out there for the regular season titles in the arena. I know they have them for NCAA tournament berths, MAC tournament titles.
I think it's worthy.
I got to check on that. Yeah, I would. I would put up regular season and I would put up MAC regular season. I'd put up MAC tournament champions. I'd put up NIT. I'd put up NCAA.
Yeah, I think it's cheesy for
Duke. It's not. Well, Does Duke or North Carolina have
NIT? It's cheesy for Nashville. The Predators put up Western Conference regular season champs. Like, that's not a real thing. But the MAC title.
But if you won the Central Division, you'd put that up. Nashville won the Central, they put it up.
They don't have a Central playoffs.
I mean, North Carolina, I'm sure North Carolina puts up ACC regular season championship banners.
Maybe.
They got like 8 million banners in the Dean Dome.
Montreal beat LA. Pittsburgh beat Florida. The Sabres are 11 points out of the wild card.
It's the last day we're mentioning the wild card, right?
There were 6 3-point games last night in the NHL. Sabres play Chicago tomorrow. Cam Ward is out with a knee injury. Hey, by the way, maybe this is your stat of the day. Dylan Strome for the Chicago Blackhawks has been very, very good for them. They acquired him in a, I'm told it's a trade, midseason trade. They picked up Dylan Strome, who has been very good and has outscored a number of really good players over the course of his time since joining the Blackhawks in the last couple weeks. He's been very productive.
Good for him.
Good for him indeed. It's another example of maybe this is I'll try hard here. Try really hard. Alex Nylander. Right? Strome had done next to nothing for 2 years. Third year, showed up, scored a little bit. Year four, good player.
Yeah.
So that's if you're looking for the bright side, the other part of it is betting on high picks remains a good idea, even when they're not the level of Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel, Dylan Strome, turning into a nice player for Chicago. Him and DeBrincat have been both, nice finds for the Blackhawks. They traded for him. Arizona, by the way, is ahead of the Sabres. And if there were a 3-2-1 system, they'd be in the playoffs. Other headlines, what did we get to?
That kind of jogged me yesterday when I was playing around with the stats when Arizona was ahead of them. I didn't realize that.
New Bills free agent target. Rams will not bring back center John Sullivan.
Yeah, I think the only question here is that he's 33. So I don't think he would get a longer, like the guy from Denver, right? Paradis is younger. I have to check Mitch Morse's age from Kansas City. I think those guys are considered the top two guys in the market, but I saw you tweeted that out. And
Mitch Morse is 27.
27. Okay, so they're both younger. This guy's 33, so that would be the only issue. They were on. He was part of a very good offensive line. I read a story this morning that they talked. They gave him a lot of credit for helping Jared Goff, helping what he had to do in terms of understanding defenses and calls and running the offense. I mean, we know the center of the offensive line is an important guy. He's critical to the performance of the line with line calls and all of his responsibilities, but apparently he got credit for some of the stuff he did with Jared Goff and how he helped that young quarterback develop. So I looked at that. I thought, I'd rather get a younger guy in a longer term, like a guy like Paradis if he's available, but I think that would cost you a lot more than John Sullivan would. If the Bills are interested in a guy like that, he'd make the line better. He can help a young quarterback. He's not going to cost you. I don't think it would be much more than maybe a 2 or 3 year deal. I thought that was an interesting name just to, as an option of maybe a shorter term contract, but still a guy who would upgrade your offensive line. I think that'd be an interesting move for them. Because look at the money. I'm curious to see where the money goes next week on the offensive line. Now, if you think the Bills should go and get a tackle, for what it's worth, Tampa just re-signed Donovan Smith, and he got an average of about $14 million a year. So we'll see what happens in terms of, I don't know where center money is going to go. We had talked about the Bills maybe trying to go after Darrell Williams from Carolina. Now, he comes off an injury short in 2018, so maybe that drives his value down. But I'm curious to see how far the Bills are willing to go in terms of spending. Because I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again, I expect a starting offensive lineman, at least one starting offensive lineman, to come in free agency. Center, guard, tackle, I don't know. But I expect them to get at least one starter in free agency. The question is, how much money? Sullivan wouldn't cost you as much as the other guys. Shorter term, lower average annual value, my guess.
You want to get to some of these highlights from Jason Bottrell's conversation with Nick Kotsenika of NHL.com?
Sure.
There's some good answers here. I want to thank a tweeter. Tony wrote in, the non-answers on Housley were glaring.
Really?
Tony tweeted to give a look to this interview. I hadn't had a chance to see the whole thing yet. All right, so let's get some of Bottrell's answers on everything about skewed expectations with the 10-game win streak, on Housley, on the players. He said a couple things here. On Coach Phil Housley, that's just how it's written. So there's no context of what the actual question was.
It's not a transcript.
It just says, on Coach Phil Housley.
Right.
Quote, Bottrell. At the end of last year, we asked our players to be challenged, to change things about just how they went about training in the summer, how they went about preparing for games. I've seen that throughout the year. The interaction with our young players and the coaching staff has been very good from that aspect. When I say young players, everyone immediately thinks about Dahlin, Mittelstadt, Thompson's, but it's also the Reinhardts and Eichels who are continuing to develop right now. The coaches have done a great job from that aspect of trying different things and trying to develop our young players and also have success here in the National Hockey League.
He kind of talked about that a little bit last time he was on with Shope and the Bulldog, which it kind of made me raise my eyebrows about how he felt better about the team in recent weeks because of the interaction. Among the things was the interaction with coaches. And honestly, it made me think of, okay, so what? They were not getting along? Were the players not listening to the coaches? What was going on, you know, at practices and behind the scenes that led you to say, well, in recent weeks, the interaction's been better? Are the coaches changing their system? Are they coaching any differently? Maybe they're, are they adjusting because they realize the players are having troubles in certain areas, so they're tweaking some things? I don't know. I found that kind of interesting that something, what has happened in the last few weeks to make you feel any better? Because you know what? The results certainly haven't been there on the ice.
Well, it's interesting. On Coach Phil Housley, there's nothing about Phil Housley in that answer.
Oh, it's more about players with the coaching staff. It's a general.
At the end of last year, we asked our players to be challenged and change how they went about training in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next part. On evaluating the coach in the context of the personnel at this point in the process. Basically, that's your team's not perfect. How do you evaluate your coach, right? Quote, that's certainly fair. That's where you're still looking for development of the players. You're looking for development of the individual players. You're looking for development of your team and understanding there are going to be ups and downs. Just because young players are playing more, they're not automatically going to get better. There's the physical toll, especially for rookies in the NHL. You talk to any of our young players, any of our players who played in the league at a young age, whether it's Bogosian, Eichel, Reinhardt, they've talked about just the physical and mental drain in the second half of the year, and that's challenging. I think for our group, the break this year, the way it was set up at the All-Star break, was very beneficial. You saw Dahlin and Mittelstadt come out of that with some very solid games right afterwards, just being refreshed. That's also nothing to do with evaluating the coach in the context of the personnel.
Yeah.
On who has taken a step beyond the
first. Yeah, because coaching, I'm sorry to interrupt, but coaching, if he was asked to evaluate the coach and his answer is, our guys were fresher coming out of a break, has nothing to do. It's not like the coaches would have made Rasmus Dahlin and Casey Mittelstadt fresher. He brought up the concept of rookies hitting the wall and how they looked better coming out of the break, out of the All-Star break, the bye, what have you. It wouldn't have anything. The coaches didn't make those young players better coming out of the break. The rest made the young players better out of the break. That's his point.
Right. So there's nothing in there about the coach. Okay. Right?
You know, if you believe in reading between the lines, this is not exactly any kind of an endorsement for your head coach.
On who has taken a step beyond the first line.
Oh, I'd like to hear this.
What's your answer?
Well, okay, well, Dahlin. I think Mittelstadt has taken some steps, I think.
I think Sherry has played relatively well all season. He just hasn't been able to finish that much.
Yeah, but see, I mean, I need him to finish. Like, I don't, for me, a guy coming from a cup team in one of Botchell's main trades has to be more than he's creating. I need, so I guess it's what you expected from Sherry, and I need more finish.
Yeah.
So I think he's actually finishing of late. I wouldn't have mentioned him. I would have, Darlene, Mittelstadt.
His answer? One that doesn't get nearly as much attention as it probably is, Evan Rodriguez.
Okay, fair
Look
enough.
Look at Evan.
Yeah, yeah.
He's asked about Darlene's development, on Skinner's status, on the addition of Montour. But the non-answers on Housley, those are non-answers.
Yeah. Well, two questions about maybe stranded. You know, again, if you want to read things into it, you would say, I wonder if the GM is distancing himself from a commitment to the head coach.
How about Ristolainen? Jason Botchell on defenseman Rasmus Ristolainen using an unprintable word Tuesday to describe his performance. Mm-hmm. He said
Rasmus himself, right.
He said he was bleep.
Yeah.
Look, I think it's just a self-assessment of how our team's performed over the last couple weeks. Risto plays huge minutes for us in all different situations, and he's a competitive individual who wants to have success. I think that's what you've seen from our group, is that there is a level of frustration because they want to have success for our organization. They want to have success for our city. And that's the disappointing thing. They've had a little bit of a taste of it early in the season. They want more of it. They feel they're going about doing a lot of the right things, but the second half, you look at our games, they're always tight, and just small breakdowns don't give you the results you want, and that can certainly be frustrating, and that's where our team's at right now.
But they're not breaking down. He's not using frustration to explain why they're breaking down. They're not breaking down because they're frustrated. They're breaking down because, for whatever reason, in whatever area you want to point out, there are shortcomings, whether it's physical ability, mental ability, hockey IQ, what have you. Why? It is the same mistakes. I mean, the mistakes they were making in December and were the ones they were making in January were the ones they were making in February. So, you know, you brought up Craig Rivet. You know, go back and listen to hour one of the Instigators yesterday, and I was excited to hear Craig because I knew he'd be going off on a whole bunch of different things. And here he is talking about a team that doesn't seem to have a system. Guys are just running around in their own zone. And how many times do we see them chasing the puck in their own zone on a sustained forecheck for the opposing team? They're chasing. They can't stop plays. They can't reach the puck. They can't break up plays. They can't clear the zone. So, I mean, why did things go the way they went? To me, it's almost like Housley saying, hey, it's just we're playing 3 to 5 to 7 bad minutes every game. Well, there must be a reason, by the way, if you can't actually get through 60 minutes more often than not without having a bad 5 or 7 or 9 minute stretch filled with breakdowns and multiple goals and lousy second periods. It's because, you know, there are issues in terms of the ability of this roster. It's not. I don't think frustration is why they, you know, were they frustrated when they were up 3-1 and gave up 3 goals in 3.5 minutes to the Edmonton Oilers? I don't think so. That's not why you lose that game.
Well, I do think Phil Housley has a test in front of him right here. One of the things he has to do, I mean, he's going to continue to play Ristolainen.
Yeah.
And there are some, of course, Ristolainen can have value for you. He needs to have protected minutes. But the thing he has to do is never play him with Scandella again.
Yeah.
That is their worst pairing. Right. It brings out the worst in Ristolainen. Scandella's their worst defenseman.
Well, they don't. Neither guy makes the other guy better.
Scandella is their worst. And yeah. The idea is that Ristolainen can be the puck mover and Scandella stays home. Back, yeah. But Scandella's not good at that. And Ristolainen's not really a great puck mover as compared to some of their other guys. So Ristolainen's best minutes were with Pilot. That's who made Ristolainen the best that he was. So the test for Housley is, all right, you want to play Ristolainen for minutes? You cannot do it with Scandella. In reality, Scandella shouldn't play.
Well, but I don't know.
But is he going to play him down the stretch?
Well, this goes back to your question about what do you do about veteran defensemen? You know, and it didn't seem like, well, he didn't answer the question. But there's no indication. There's been no indication that he would take. I don't see Ristolainen coming out of the lineup. To a lesser extent, I don't see Scandella coming out of the lineup. What I would like to see is Lawrence Pilot come back from Rochester before the season is over and let him get a little more time back in the NHL.
Well, there is that little nugget in there about Botchell saying young players playing doesn't mean that they're growing.
Yeah.
And when we asked Housley yesterday, are you less likely to bench a veteran, he wouldn't answer it.
Right.
So the Sabres have decided to play their old guys because they don't necessarily think that playing in games is good for the young guys.
Well, look, I don't.
right? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, I suppose it would depend on a case by case. We're really getting down to, are we throwing Casey Nelson in this discussion? If not, we're talking about Dahlin and Pilot, basically, right? The young guys.
Sure.
Not risk the line, and I don't consider he's young
not,
by age, but he is not a young NHL defenseman.
Definitely not.
The guy's got over 400 games played. He's not a young NHL defenseman. He needs to know better. And he is who he is. So to me, this is coming down to Dahlin and Pilot. And I think, you know, at the time, sure, Pilot is struggling, and you can absolutely bring up some of that may have been due to Housley and who he's matching up Pilot with and what's going on and, you know, benching him and he's in and benching him and he's out. And look, if I'm Pilot, I'm probably looking around going, why am I benched? There's some other guys back here who are playing as bad or worse than me, and they're playing. So to me, that gets down to Dahlin and Pilot. And I would like to see Pilot back. You know, I mean, the season's over. It's correct, right? Your playoff chances are shot. You're now down 11 points in the wild card race. We were talking to Brayton in the break. Pilot's doing okay in Rochester. I think his confidence was, if not shot, it was definitely affected when they sent him down. I think it was the right thing to do. I would like to now bring him back and see if he gets better and if he can, you know, be a guy that we can count on for next season. So the young guys developing, sure, Pilot's game was going backwards. They did the right thing. Okay, he goes down, plays a little while in Rochester. You know, where are we? We're still a month away from the end of the season. Another week or so, bring Lawrence Pilot back. Let him get in the last couple, 3 weeks of the season and see what he can do. Dahlin's been fine. You know, if anything, Dahlin's just dealing with the rookie wall and the occasional. Maybe he's dealing with some mental fatigue and the length of the season and has the occasional blips like the other night where he turns over the puck at the point. But I mean, who has any problems with the way Rasmus Dahlin's been playing as an 18-year-old whose ice time has been going up a little bit over the course of the season and is now logging 20-plus minutes on a regular basis. Maybe he's distancing himself from a commitment to Phil Housley.
I mean, there definitely is no commitment
because,
to Housley.
Because
there.
It's funny. So that interview was done, I assume, this week?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Not the last time. Botcher was
It would have been done yesterday because they talked about wrist the line and evaluating
the comment
his play.
Is on play. Right, yeah. All right. So not the last time. I'm trying to remember the previous Friday. It wasn't this last interview that Jason Bottrell had with Chris because Mike was off last week. Whatever previous Friday home game, I should pull up the schedule. Whatever previous Friday home game when Bottrell was on and he was asked specifically about Phil Housley. Oh, no, it wasn't. No. It wasn't. It was the interview in Florida when the Sabres were between games in Tampa and Florida, and Bottrell sat down with reporters in Florida, and Paul was there. And he was asked flat out about Phil Housley and whether you're considering a coaching change, and he said no.
There's not going to be a
progress as an organization compared to last year. We've been in a position where we've been in games. I see the results on the ice. I see the communication that we're going through here. There's not going to be a coaching change.
Okay, so that would have been... Thank you, Brayton, by the way, for finding the audio. Job well done.
That would have been on the 20th of February.
Okay. So, and then he just talks to Katsunika. What are we talking, guys? 5 weeks later? So he went from, there's no coaching change, to not specifically answering questions about.
It's 2 weeks.
Oh, my God. It's February 20th, right?
It's 2 weeks.
I really have to get some help.
It's been exactly 2 weeks since then.
What changed? So, you know what? You're better at reading between the lines than I am.
What changed is Nick Kotsenika didn't ask him,
are you going to fire the coach? But he asked him to evaluate his coach. There were two questions where you were asked basically to give your opinion on something involving your coach, right? And he doesn't answer the question. So that's what I'm going to read into it. I'm going to read into it is something happened in the last 2 weeks where he went from, no, there's no coaching change, to not commenting specifically on Phil Housley, and maybe is it an indication that he's trying at least leave the door open for, I can't put myself into a corner here because maybe he's got some doubt, or he's thinking the owners might not be happy with the way the season's playing out, and that the coaching situation will be up for discussion when Bottrell meets with the owners after the season. That's what I will read into it. Do you?
I tend to think that the reason that hasn't happened is because they're not going to just go interim. They're gonna stand back and they're going to evaluate. They're going to disrupt Rochester. Who knows? Or they bring him back and just go with it.
I still think there has to be. I know you continually bring up standard and everything. There have to be issues either with the GM or the coach. The owners have to be sitting back and looking at it, going, 130 points in 2 years with these guys. They're the third worst team in the league in the first 2 years of Bottrell and Phil Housley. Granted, it's not complete, but only Ottawa and Detroit have fewer points than the Buffalo Sabres since the beginning of last season. And we looked at Ottawa and thought, going into this, we've looked at Ottawa as a team that's been on fire and has been burning for the last couple years and is jettisoning pieces left and right from a team that was close to a cup final a few years ago. And we look at Detroit going, huh, hockey town. They haven't been good in forever. You know, Detroit is a hockey organization that has fallen to the bottom. The Sabres are only beating out those two teams in points these last 2 years. I would read into that and say either Bottrell's thinking about Housley or Bottrell knows the owners are going to be talking to him about Housley, because this is just unacceptable. And I think he's just playing it very careful now. He does not want to pin himself into any corner with anything about Housley. Next time he's on, hey, Mike and Chris, if you're listening, ask him about Phil Housley and a coaching change flat out and see what he says. See if he is as definitive as he was on February 20th to that same question.
Yeah. When he said, fans want a coaching change? Which I'm not even sure that at that point everybody did. I'm not even sure at this point everybody does.
No.
But it's my take on it is not that – my biggest one is I can't believe it hasn't happened. And when you go this bad for this long – and I even made the point, you know, Travis Yost was on the Afternoon Guys yesterday talking about how bad the goalies have been. That happens a lot. That what gets you fired? A bad month from your goalies, and all of a sudden you lose a bunch of games, and your team fires your coach.
Yeah.
So maybe Bottrell knows the goalies have been bad and does deserve credit for not overreacting to that. But at the same time, coaches in this league get fired all the time. We've had that stat that of all the Jack Adams winners, only the last two are still with their current team. You win the Jack Adams, you're gone in – 3 years. That's the best coach in the league.
Once your team starts losing, it doesn't matter that you won the trophy. They're going to fire you. And they're going to bring in another guy to try and turn things around. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. It is Wednesday. That means it's Hoagie Hump Day. So tweet us today. You're busy. You got a lot of stuff going on in your life. We know that. Take a moment and tweet at WGR550. When you tweet us, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. If you do that, you have a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout. It is that simple. Hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. Tweet at WGR550, and hopefully you get a $25 gift certificate to Jim's Steakout.
They've worked extremely well together, you know, especially at the start of the year. Part of the big reason we went on the 10-game winning streak was our goaltending. It was outstanding. And I think what we have to do to support them better is just you look at our shots in and around the slot. We have to be better defensively. We're giving up too many chances against our goalies in those situations there. So we feel very comfortable with both. We like the tandem of a veteran player working with a young player like Linus, and who has made big strides in his first sort of full year. We still think there's lots of room for improvement with Linus, but we have to support our goaltending more.
They went into the tank at the same time everyone else apparently went into the tank, and it just created this cataclysm of everyone is playing below expectation. You cannot put 880 up at even strength and win a lot of games. I mean, you know, you look around the league, look at the Pacific. I mentioned San Jose earlier, but it's true for Vegas as well, and that they had awful starts to the year because the goaltending was so bad. Point being is this: you're stopping 88-89% of shots, you're not winning long term in the NHL. I mean, period, end discussion. That's just what it is.
Jason Bottrell and then Travis Yost. Afternoon show.
Is that where the Sabres goalies have been of late? 88?
880 at even
strength. Blah. You put a garbage can in net at that point, I think. Maybe two.
Now, one might wonder, and they're getting...
quality of chances?
But he even said, Travis did, adjusting for quality of shot and quality.
Because that's what
quantity.
I would think. Are you facing more difficult shots? Are you facing more shots? But 888, it's just anything under what? 910 is bad now? 915 is probably average now. Headlines. UB, MAC, outright regular season champs for the second straight year after beating Ohio last night, 82-79. The Bulls are 27-3, so they'll play their home finale Friday night. The athletic office says stop selling tickets for Friday night's game against Bowling Green. If you're still interested in going, they might get some returns from Bowling Green. So call the ticket office or follow UB Athletics on Twitter. They might still have some tickets available for Friday night's game.
Ian Rappaport just tweets, the Antonio Brown sweepstakes heating up. Sources say the Steelers have begun telling teams it's moving quickly. Give their best offers ASAP. Could wrap up soon. Three new teams jumping in. Jets, Cardinals, out.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about the Jets getting Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. I believe there's a deadline, like a roster bonus coming due or something with Pittsburgh on Antonio Brown, so there is somewhat of a deadline, I think, to get that trade done by a certain point.
I don't know.
I think there's some kind of bonus coming up. I'll check it.
What's the price that he goes for that you're mad at the Bills? That they didn't pay it. Knowing what you know about the Bills, what's the price that Antonio Brown goes for that you're mad? If he goes for a first-round pick, you're probably
anything after the first round.
If he goes for a second-round pick?
A second-round pick, I know. A second-round pick's important. That guy could start. Anything after the first – I mean, I'm mad. Anything after the first round.
So if he goes for a second-round pick
– Well, I'm mad that they're not getting in on him anyway.
Okay.
I keep seeing mocks about the Bills taking receiver at 9. Or you could, you know, trade for a receiver at 9 and then use 9 at something else. Or, you know, they're not going to give up the 9th pick for Antonio Brown.
He is like the headache of headaches.
I know he is.
It's not just...
He's also really good.
He is.
And it's funny, the irony with this, I don't know if irony is the right term to use here, but what's interesting about Antonio Brown is we had Judy Batista on an hour ago from NFL Network, and she made a point that a lot of people make. Yes, he's a headache, and there's been off-field, you know, not illegal off-field issues, but issues with behavior, and he doesn't get along with his quarterback and all that stuff. And yet, like, every reporter that covers Steelers training camp talks about this guy's work ethic is phenomenal. Like, he is always trying to get better. He is driven to be a better receiver than he already is. And he's, if not the best, one of the best receivers in the game. And yet he's always working at training camp on the jugs machine. And he's working on his hands. And he's working on his routes. And he's working on his technique. And he's, as good as he is, he's trying to get better. This is not a guy who's like a bad person in terms of the football operations. He is a headache in terms of social media and yelling at his quarterback and
everything, you know, the Bills don't
live
want.
Facebooking in the locker room that you're not supposed to do. Right. So anyway, that's a long way of answering your question. Would I honestly, I wouldn't. My answer is I wouldn't be mad because I know they were never serious players in this.
Well, that's why I asked. What would the price?
No, I would never be mad.
I don't think you'd be mad at a second rounder. Now, let's say he goes for
fourth,
a sixth rounder.
Oh my Lord, are you kidding me?
Would you be mad?
No, because there never were players.
Because you know who they are.
If I thought it was realistic that the Bills would consider getting Antonio Brown, and it went for a mid-round pick, yes, I'd be mad. But I honestly wouldn't be mad because we know that's just not a discussion they're going to have.
A couple texts on this. Brown doesn't have McBean DNA. I like Judy Batista's point. Not good to have him with a young quarterback. I think that's a fair point, especially with this regime. But here's another text that comes in. It's not just the pick you have to give up. It's the contract he's going to want.
Sure, he's going to want more money. Right.
But I want to read the rest of this because it's grossly off on values. If I can pay him $5 million a year, sure. But if he wants 10 to 15, I don't want him for any pick. Let me tell you.
He's going to get more than
that. The caliber of receiver you're getting for $10 million is not even that good.
Beckham got... 5 years, $90 million, right?
Almost 20.
So that's $18 million a year. Oh, $10 million. $10 million might get you a number two receiver. Didn't Robert Woods get $9 million to go to the Rams?
I'm looking for what Taylor Gabriel signed.
Yeah, $10 million is a backup receiver.
Taylor Gabriel got 7. So $10 million. I mean, if you're spending $10 million, yeah. Devin Funchess, how much is Devin Funchess going to get?
Right. No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying.
It's, 6 or 7.
If you're looking for an elite receiver, you're talking Beckham money.
Sammy Watkins got 16.
Did you see the story today about Tyreek Hill? There's no numbers out, but apparently the Chiefs are talking to Tyreek Hill about an extension, and it's record setting. Like whatever numbers they're talking about in Kansas City for Hill are record setting numbers. That would lead you to believe he's getting close to around $20 million a year.
Another text.
Antonio Brown will be looking for top, if not one, top two or three receiver money.
Another texter, hell no to Brown. This dude would have the team divided by week six.
Yeah, I don't
Worse than
that.
Having Odell's idiotic behavior. Would you take a divided locker room if Josh Allen threw for 4,200 yards?
I don't think he would have the team divided by week six.
Well, he might. He might. I'll say this.
He might create problems with the quarterback, but I don't think he would divide a team.
Andrew Filippone, who works for 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, former WGR host and one of our colleagues and friends, he tweeted maybe last week, whatever GM trades for Antonio Brown should be fired on the spot. And so just to give you an idea of what they think of him in Pittsburgh, and that's knowing how good
he is. How productive he is, I know.
So that's, I'm selling this product to you, and I'm telling you, you shouldn't buy it. It's absolute poison.
Right.
I mean, I know when Brown gets traded, if the price is really low, we'll talk about it.
I guess at this point I would tell you I could give two hoots.
Sure.
There's been enough losing around here. Get me better players. And I know, I just don't care. I care. I know I'm supposed to care, but I really don't. You want my honest answer? I care so less about culture and chemistry than I ever did in my entire lifetime. You can have a locker room of the greatest buddies in the world. If you go 7-9, who cares? So I understand he's a headache. I get it. You know, we are talking about a franchise that we look at. I think most people will look at Pittsburgh as one of the best, most well-run franchises in the National Football League, right? They are up there in top five in terms of most respected franchises and have been for, you know, my lifetime as a football fan. So if they're moving away from Antonio Brown, you'd look at it and go, guys, just don't touch this guy. I get it. I don't think he would divide an entire locker room. And there have been, you know, there have been, quote, bad guys that have worn Buffalo uniforms in the past. And if you win, nobody gives a damn. It's win. Win at the end of the day. And if you can put together a locker room where everybody's great and the chemistry's marvelous and you win, so be it. But at some point, I could give two hoots about this stuff. I just want someone who can – I'd love to have a 1,000-yard receiver. I'd love to have a guy who scares the other team. Like someone on your offense who the other defensive coordinator spends days during the week going, how the heck do we stop this guy? When was the last time someone like that was here?
Right, somebody that can draw a double team, because if you have to put two guys on one receiver, all right, now I'm playing 10-on-9.
Yeah.
And now I've got Josh Allen and his running ability whenever he needs to use it.
Right.
You know.
It opens up things for LeSean McCoy.
I've got 10-on-9. Turns out I got... Yeah,
I know it's a waste of time. I get it. It's not happening, and I understand he's a massive headache. And I mean, I didn't like some of the stuff he did in Pittsburgh when he's Facebooking in the locker room. I thought that was ridiculous. There's a lot of stuff he did I did not like, but I've become less inclined to red flag a guy because of behavior.
Alex writes in, Antonio Brown's not going to be as much of a problem with the new team as he was with the old team because who he was so mad at. He's one of the 20 best receivers in NFL history. I would do whatever it takes to get him.
Well, the big question is, the team he goes to, and that, if that quarterback struggles and doesn't get him the ball or gets picked off, is he going to be mad again?
That's
the question.
Several texters and tweeters that point out that Antonio Brown and Jordan Poyer may have some sort of personal issue that I will not exactly mention.
Oh, okay.
Let's play the Ted Nolan game. What's more likely? Is the Ted Nolan game that he came back and coached a second time? Mm-hmm. What would it be more shocking to you that the Bills, it's announced today, they've traded for Antonio Brown. Would you be more shocked than the day that Ted Nolan actually came back and coached the Sabres?
I'm still picking Ted Nolan.
Ted Nolan more shocking, okay.
I mean, come on! Are you kidding me? I would pick Ted Nolan. Because I'm trying to think how the Bills, if they actually did this, the Bills would talk about, you know, there's enough leadership in place in the room. We've got a coach going into his third year. We've got a quarterback now in his second year. So he's got the rookie year out of his way. We've got a guy like LeSean McCoy on offense. I'm trying to think who else. You don't have Kyle Williams anymore. You don't have Eric Wood. They would probably try and make some kind of speech about how we feel there's enough leadership in the room that this won't be a problem. That he'll be able to be a productive member of the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550 to join us. Get a break. We'll talk in some spring football. Lance Leipold from UB coming up next. WGR. Yeah, it's not for basketball. I mean, you thought we have been talking about UB basketball. I mean, we could be playing this. They did clinch the MAC title last night, regular season title. Congratulations to Nate Oates. It's spring football. A lot of key questions going on as UB gets to work, trying to get things ready for the 2019 season. We're going to talk to Lance Leipold in a moment. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. We've been talking a little bit about UB, a little football, about the Sky Judge and the draft. We were even talking about the NHL. They're all happy. Things are going well for the league. Scoring's up. The GMs didn't have any major issues to tackle. So we're talking about if there's something you really think they're missing the boat on. Playoff format, 3-1 points, offer sheets. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. We are going to the Western Hotline because, the football team's busy. They're working. They're going through spring practice, and we're joined by their head coach, Lance Leipold, with us here on WGR. Lance, it's Howard and Jeremy. Nice to talk to you again. How you doing?
Yeah, great to hear your voice. We're doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. So were you busy watching the combine over the weekend to see how Tyree was looking?
I did catch parts of it. Unfortunately, we had a junior day where we had 175 juniors on campus, but I did record it and get a chance to catch most of it. And I know Anthony did a little bit as well, and really proud of what those guys were able to show in such a big stage.
Did you see the part where Steve Smith was telling him to stop throwing the ball so hard to receivers? Did you guys ever have to tell him to dial it down in practice?
Yeah, well, our managers laughed at it. They've been catching his balls for 4 years, and we never had to tell them to slow it down. So obviously, our managers, they just put a pair of gloves on and make it happen. But, we've known Tyree's arm strength for a long time, and, sometimes he gives them the old heater sometimes. We used to say, like Ricky Vaughn in Major League. So,
hey, you know what? You had guys at the Combine. You had guys at the Senior Bowl. You had Khalil at the East-West Shrine Game. There's three guys playing in the Alliance right now. How can all of that impact recruiting and the program going forward, in your opinion?
Oh, it's a huge boost. I was able to get there's another smaller bowl game, the Tropical Bowl in Daytona Beach.
Right,
Cam Lewis and Chuck Harris played there. I actually got to go to that game. Tied it into some recruiting. Saw practice at the East-West Shrine as well as catching up practice at the Senior Bowl. And to see how our program is now viewed among many people, at the higher ranks is definitely encouraging. And then, of course, what it does for recruiting and everything in our profile, I guess, is the catchy word today is our brand and everything. And you add to what our basketball program keeps doing. I just saw a graphic, other than University of Cincinnati, a combined football basketball program, nobody has more wins this year other than Cincinnati than us. And so you look at everything and how it's changed. All those things, Howard, really help us work on taking the next step to be consistently a winner and somebody that's going to compete for championships.
The good news is all these guys are showing off, and it's good for the program. The flip side is you have a lot of big shoes to fill. Let's start at quarterback and how you go about filling the shoes of Tyree Jackson, and you have any thoughts on that position and the competition there?
Well, it's going to be a competition, and when you lose somebody of that caliber and what everything he did for our program, there's going to be some unknown things are going to happen, especially that he stayed healthy last season. So Kyle Van Treese is a young man who started a game as a true freshman when we went through a couple quarterback injuries, and with the new redshirt rule in NCAA football, we were able to get him on the field a few times, but yet we saved his year of eligibility. So he'll be a sophomore, probably has the most game experience. Dominic Johnson is another young man who did get to see probably his most extensive time this year. And as many people know, is also on the basketball team, but he is participating in practices. And then, I think the one that maybe most of your listeners will be familiar with is Matt Myers. Matt's been slowed by a little injury here, but we're extremely excited about what Matt has shown in his first season in our program and being able to lead our football team. So that's where it is right now on campus, and I know that's going to be a great competition, and we're going to find someone that's going to lead our football team.
Lance, do you use spring practices at all to determine starting spots?
Well, I don't know if it's totally going to cement them because, it's going to give you a good indication where you're heading in the fall camp. So I think it's going to give you a better chance of where you're going to line up. There's a lot of things to get done, and so I guess in a roundabout way, I don't know if you're asking, are we going to name a starting quarterback at the end of spring? No, I don't see us doing this at this time.
No, but, not just that. I mean, like wide receiver, you know, linebacker,
yeah,
cornerback.
You know,
you got center.
Know.
You know, you got a whole bunch of openings there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be like, hey, this is it's your job and everything. But I think I think some guys have had opportunities to separate themselves from competition in the past and kind of give themselves the leg up. But again, from everything that we've done, and I think the best place to look in our program about competition and what you take advantage of is our running back position a year ago. And, Emmanuel Reed was, had 800 yards and did a nice job for us. But, Kevin Marks started to make his push last spring to show that he was going to be somebody that was going to really help our football program. And then Jared Patterson had just arrived on campus, and he started to show some of those flashes. So did they put themselves in that position to be starters? No, but they sure put themselves, to be in the conversation for fall camp, and obviously they took advantage of it.
Lance, final thing, you mentioned basketball a moment ago, and you see the success now, Bobby Hurley and now Nate Oates, and over a stretch of years here. How do you do that with football? How do you go about taking what you had last season and using that as a springboard for an extended amount of success?
Well, you have to keep, remember what got you there, first of all. And you have to, stay to the fundamentals. A lot of things that you hear, Nate, you got to stay gritty. You got to keep working. But you've got to continue to work, recruit well, develop. The evaluation process is very important at a school like ours. And not just ability-wise, Howard, it's also are they going to be able to fit in what the culture is here and the work it's going to take. During in the off season, I had a former MAC head coach tell me, send a congratulation text. But he also kind of put in there, again, is the challenge in MAC, in the Mid-American Conference, in football, is sustaining success. Mm-hmm. It's one that's usually been a veteran-driven conference and league, especially at the quarterback position. So those are some of the things that we got to continue to work on here. But the nice thing about it, and one thing we haven't talked about in this talk, I know we'll talk more during the season, is the veterans that we have up front. And anytime you have a new quarterback or anything there, if you have experience in the offensive line, that can help you get through some growing pains. And I think that's going to be a great thing for us to start as we look, I guess, to put this 2019 team together.
Well, good luck with the practices. I'm sure you're glad to be on the field coaching again. And as always, Lance, we enjoy having you on the show. Thanks for your time this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Howard. Great to be with you guys. Have a great week.
You too. Lance Leipold, UB football coach, joining us on the Western Hotline. Spring practice is going on. 803-0550 to join us. We'll talk more college football / NFL draft coming up at 9:30. We'll find out about DK Metcalf, the Ole Miss wide receiver who had a big-time combine.
Where's my instant trivia?
It's coming up in the next hour.
You promised instant trivia, and I've had to wait. When you promise instant potatoes, instant coffee, people don't have to wait for it. It's supposed to be, I'm ready.
Well, we can't do it here. We're late to the break. I promise it's coming up. We got sidetracked. We were talking about other look, I don't have ADHD, but I've got something that just allows me to just forget about things. I don't know what the heck it is.
It's called having this job.
That maybe.
Because
I just
you
bounce
are
all over.
Always talking and thinking something else.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's it. And you just kind of go in different directions all the time. Fine, that works for me.
I don't mean like not thinking about the job, but always thinking about what you're going to say
on the job.
Next.
Yeah, it does.
Like what's
yeah.
coming up in 10 minutes.
Okay, well, 803-0550 to join us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.